So I'm going to ask you to turn over to Acts chapter 11. That's where we're at today. And we're going to continue our series of Full of the Spirit. Praise God. So we have been talking about a life and the church full of the Holy Spirit. Talking about our life, but we've been looking at the life of Saul or Paul, whatever you want to call him. His name will change in our reading. It hasn't changed yet, so it is Saul at this point. But you're going to hear me say Paul and Saul interchangeably. I just can't get away from it. Even though I've tried writing it in my notes as it is at this instance, I always jump to Paul. So if I say Paul, Saul, you know I'm talking about the same person. Saul had such a divine intervention in his life that it changed his ministry, but also he changed his name. And so that's why Saul becomes the Apostle Paul and writes one-third of the New Testament. So, and oversees the building up and the starting of many of the churches in the Old Testament age. And so we've been talking about a life and the church full of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 3, that's our verse for the year, we see how important being full of the Spirit was to the church fathers. And here's what it says. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. If you want to know how that scripture fits into what I'm teaching this year, go back to January 9th and January 16th. And I believe that those are the dates that you'll find the messages. And there were three messages. So it would be the 20, whatever. So go back to January and you'll find those messages and it'll bring you up to date of where we are and why this scripture, Acts 6:3, is so important to us. The importance of this as we study these series of messages this year entitled Full of the Spirit. The importance of this is that we want to be a church that is full of the Spirit. We want to be a church that is doing the things that a Spirit-filled church should do. And I'm not talking about Pentecostalism in regards to speaking in tongues and all of that. We do believe in that, but we never force that upon anybody, nor do you see it crazily used within services or things like that. We're a very balanced Pentecostal church. What I'm referring to here is how the Holy Spirit builds up the Christian life. So there's nobody here who would have a problem with these messages, okay? Listen to what I'm saying. How the Holy Spirit builds up the believer, how the Holy Spirit empowers the believer, how the Holy Spirit moves the church of empowered believers into their world to make a difference and to do the things that God has called us to do. That's been our focus this year. That's what God is speaking. I said we want to be a church where powerful, meaningful ministry takes place. This is why I want to do something during the egg hunt. I want to do something so that kids can be ministered to, so that the word of God can be spoken over their lives. They're going to hear songs and they're going to see little puppets doing these funny skits, but what they're not going to realize is that the word of God is bombarding their hearts and that the word of God is going to speak to their lives. And hopefully many children will raise their hands and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so who knows, but this is what we're going to begin to do as we do these events outside in our community. Our Father's Day Cornhole Tournament is coming up very soon. Right after the Easter egg hunt, we're going to gear towards that because I'm trying to be 3 months ahead of everything. And so in doing that, my mind's already turned away from the Easter egg hunt toward the Father's Day Cornhole because it's that important. That'll be the Saturday before Father's Day. We're not going to do it on Father's Day. But how many know there needs to be some message spoken to the men before they play cornhole that brings the word of God out and touches hearts? And so we'll see how the Lord leads us in that. And, you know, men, if you think that you have something to share to men of the world and men that are, you know, maybe not as close to Jesus as he would want them to be, not that we would want them to be, but as he would want them to be, and you think you have something for that morning, hey, I would gladly step aside and let you speak whatever you want to speak. So pray and ask the Lord, okay? It doesn't have to be long, but we want to make sure that before they throw those bags of corn into little holes in a board, that God throws his son into the hole in their hearts. Amen. And so praise God for that. Let God play some cornhole, amen? Because he'll never miss. It'll be 3 points every time, amen? So praise God for that. Well, that's a little something that came to me just then. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I love when God does that. We said that we want to be a church that is having a powerful effect in its community, a church that is having a powerful connection to the world and a powerful effect in the world. We become that church. These are the messages that are online. You can go back and watch them. We become that church as the Holy Spirit, or whom we know to be the Holy Spirit of comfort and revelation. He gives us a clearer understanding of what God's Word is saying. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And so that's why I pray, Lord, hide me behind you today, because you don't need to hear my voice, church. What we need to hear today is the words of God's Holy Spirit, who brings clarity to what God's Word is saying and ministers to our hearts. And so praise God for that. And so this is what he does. Through the greater understanding of God's word, then, we gain a clarity into hearing the voice of God, and then a greater clarity into moving into the things that God is speaking to us and that God is calling us to do. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit uses His word. This was another message to keep us from the things of this world. How many Christians have found themselves entangled with the things of the world? I'll put my hand up. Why? Because we live in this world. We're not of this world, but we live in this world. And so we're, unfortunately, many times we're bombarded with the people around us that we work with the people that we do life with. And unfortunately, though it should not be this way, many times they're winning the effect rather than us having an effect on them. We need to pray about that. And so the Holy Spirit uses God's word to keep us from the things of this world. The Holy Spirit uses God's word, I love this one, to keep us from ourselves. Ooh, man, amen, ouch, whatever you need to say there, right? Because sometimes we're self-destructive. Sometimes we're selfish and arrogant and prideful and all of those other things. And so He keeps us from ourselves. He uses the word of God to deliver us from the attacks of the enemy. How many can say amen there, amen? And He uses the word of God to sustain us in the times and the society in which we are living. And what we have been doing over the last few weeks is we've been looking at the conversion of Saul, who will become Paul, as an example. How his new spiritual sight, you remember when Jesus knocks Saul off the horse, Saul is going to Damascus to imprison, beat, persecute, and kill Christians. He's got a paper in his pocket from the high priest saying that he could do so. And as he's going there, Jesus knocks him off his horse, blinds him, and speaks to him and changes his heart. Paul then is prayed over by Ananias, one of the disciples of Christ in Antioch. And as he prays over him, scales fall from Paul's eyes. Paul begins to see his physically again, but he sees for the first time spiritually. And so we've been talking about that over these weeks, how his new spiritual sight, brought on by the Holy Spirit, changed his whole life. We said that we need to be a church that has spiritual vision. I just don't want to see things physically. Oh, I pray that God never takes my eyesight. You know, I love to game and I love to do those things. But if God would ever take my eyesight, not that God would ever take it, but if the world or the way I take care of my body or some sickness or some disease would ever take my eyesight, I know that I will still have spiritual vision. Amen? I will still be able to see things as God sees them and still be able to, because God has given us spiritual vision, and that's what we need. It's a church that's able to see things the way God sees them. We saw how the Holy Spirit gave Saul a new message. Even though he was trained to understand the Word of God from a different way, he didn't really get it. He didn't really get what it meant. He really didn't get what it said until the Holy Spirit gives it to him, gives him that spiritual sight to really understand the Word. And just as Paul spoke about, we need to be a church that speaks the same thing. This was another message. We need to speak a word that proves who Jesus really is. So in your workplace, where you hang around with your friends, where you do life, does what you do and the way you act and the things you say and the things you pray for, and does it speak about who Jesus really is? We said we need a word that speaks to the lies of this world and disproves them by the truth of God's word. We said that we need to speak a word that leads people through the mysteries of life. Because there are a lot of confused people out there. There are a lot of confused Christians out there. It's a spirit-filled word. It's a God-breathed word. It's living, the Bible says. And as I said, it's the living word. And then a couple of weeks ago, before last week, because last week Brother Gary was here, a couple of weeks ago we looked at the unity that the Holy Spirit brings to the church. And not only the unity, but because of unity, I said this, there's victory. So because we're one, because God can combine a church of different colors and different races and different ethnicities and different likes and different affections and all of those other things, God can bring us together. And if He can really bring us into unity, listen to me, if He can bridge this gap that we have in our church, if He can bridge our prejudices and the things that we are run by so many times in our lives, if He can bridge those things and bring us together, can I tell you that this will be a church that does powerful things for the glory of God. The victory, any church, but I'm talking to this church. I'm not the pastor of any other church. So I talk to you. And so God can really do something great in this place. And so He'll bring victory and He'll bring strength and He'll bring oneness to our body. We are united in our calling, we said. In other words, what we are called to do and what our mission is and what God wants us to do in this world. We are united in our sonship and in being children of the living God. That we all share the same inheritance. You know, Pastor Ken, because I pastor a church, I don't get any different gifting in heaven than you guys get. You hear what I'm saying? God, now, different crowns, yes, because we're in different ministries and different things. But you know how much those crowns mean to us when we get them in heaven? The Bible says, if you read about them, that all we do with those crowns is lay them at the feet of Jesus. Because they mean nothing to us. Thank God those things that we did are recognized. But you know what? We could have never done any of those things without Jesus Christ. And so they all get laid at the feet of Jesus. We're just going to be so happy to be walking on the streets of gold. We're going to be so happy to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. It's going to be all worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. Though there may be different giftings and spiritual gifts among us, this morning we each are totally built up and edified as God uses us and our brothers and sisters to edify the church and build up the church. And we said last week or the week before that we are united in our worship. Amen. There was a great spirit of worship here today. That doesn't always happen. Some of us come in with things from the week. Some of us come in tired. Some of us come in worn out. That doesn't always happen. But when it does happen, can I tell you as a pastor, it's such a joy to get behind this pulpit because the words just flow because my excitement is you have built an atmosphere of praise and worship up in this place. The Holy Spirit is moving so easily, and so it's so much easier for me to declare the things of God. And so we declare the goodness of God among us in our worship. We encourage each other in those good things in our worship. And when we corporately praise and worship Him, He moves among us in the corporate body. And when these things are happening, church, get a hold of this. When we are giving the Holy Spirit the room that He needs, He moves among the corporate body. And when He does that, we have the victory. Amen? And as the last message was entitled, we are one. W-O-N. We have won. We have the victory. Now turn with me back over to the book of Acts today. We're going to a different chapter. I think we were in 9 last week or the week before. We're going over to chapter 11. Chapter 11, and we're going to start with verse 19. Same story. Saul, who will become Paul, still ministering in the church in different areas. Church, still scattered. Church, because of the persecution that Paul wanted to bring to the church, they're still scared. And so this is where we pick it up with another man who was full of faith. You've heard his name before because I talked about him last week, but let's talk about him again today. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose after Stephen, over Stephen, remember Stephen was killed. They stoned him for being a Christian, for being a believer. That arose over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. They were being very selective in what they were saying because they knew that they were being watched. They knew that the church was being persecuted. They were fearful. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. I want you to underline if you have your Bible, or if you're using digital Bible, you can underline or highlight. Purpose of heart. That's an important phrase there. We're going to come back to that. For he was a good man, talking about Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So if you want to know when Christians became called Christians, it was this story in Antioch. This is where it took place. Now, if you remember 2 weeks ago, this name Barnabas, you've heard it already. We had brought it up in that message 2 weeks ago. Barnabas was the disciple that dealt with the church in Jerusalem when they would not trust Saul to come into their midst. Remember, Saul's in Damascus. He changes his life because Jesus speaks to him. And so he wants to travel. He sat under some of the disciples. He's learning the word for the first time, seeing it alive, seeing it as the word that God meant it to be, seeing the effect that it has in people's lives. He's given up his task to kill the church and now wants to see the church grow, wants to see the church flourish. And so he's traveling around, but the churches aren't so open to him, rightfully so. If we knew that somebody was going around the nation and we know their name, and they're shooting up churches, and they're doing things, and this guy's traveling from state to state to state, guess what? How many know that when we know that he's in New Jersey, we're locking the doors? Right? And so this is where Saul finds himself. He is a believer. He's been converted. It is an honest conversion. But the church doesn't get all that right away. They're missing that. And so, oh, we don't want him here. We know the things that he has done. And so Barnabas goes to the church in Jerusalem, and he begins to share with them the conversion of Saul. He begins to tell them the things that have happened to this man, and the things that Jesus has said to him, and the way that Saul has converted his life and followed Jesus, and the things that he's put aside, and the new things that he's taken on, and the things that are happening in his ministry. And I said back in that message, without proof, I said Barnabas was a man full of the Spirit. Well, how did I know that? Because I knew where we were headed here. And in verse 24, we see that to be true, where it says, he was a man full of the Spirit. Now, if you haven't picked up on it yet, church, and you will see this in every account where Barnabas' name is mentioned, there will also be another word mentioned, and that word is encouragement. Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas moved in the spiritual gifting of encouragement. And this is my first point today. The Holy Spirit is our great encourager. Somebody needs to hear this today. The Holy Spirit is our great encourager. Encouragement was the mark of Barnabas' ministry. As a matter of fact, Dr. David Wins, who I don't know if he travels to Africa anymore, he's up in age. I believe he's still alive. I had the privilege many years ago, probably about 15, and I don't know, time flies so much. It might have been 10 years ago. To go to Zimbabwe, Africa with Brother Wins. The ministry that Brother Wins had was called Barnabas Ministries. And the reason was because what Brother Wins did in the continent of Africa is he encouraged ministry. He encouraged pastors. He would hold pastors' conferences. He would minister in churches. And that's what we all did. We all got to minister in a church. You've heard me say that the church that I got to minister in was just a great, it was a great learning thing for me because it was a tree church. We were actually under a tent, under a tree. That's where this congregation met. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have pews or chairs. They brought whatever they could bring to sit on. Most of them stood, and they would stand for hours as the Word of God was preached. And this was just, I think, the most magnificent thing, place that I've ever gotten to speak, was to be with a group of people in a hot tent and sweaty tent under a tree in a field in Africa, in Zimbabwe, Africa, and preach the Word of God and see it accepted with such enthusiasm and with such excitement and with such a hunger in the hearts of each and every person. I think every American pastor wishes for that today. Amen? And I believe it's happening because I believe God is waking the church up. And I believe the church is going to get hungry again. But I think pastors need to begin to change the word they're speaking and make sure that what we're speaking is the Word of God and not just the things that we think the world wants to hear or the things that, you know, we think are right to speak. But that's another message and another day and another thing. And so encouragement was the mark of Barnabas' ministry because his ministry was marked by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our encourager. In that message where we first saw Barnabas 2 weeks ago, Barnabas encouraged Saul. Saul, the Jerusalem church, would not allow Saul to come in. So Barnabas encouraged him, and then after he encouraged Saul, he went to the church in Jerusalem and encouraged them and opened the doors for Saul to come in. And we see that that church became very powerful and very victorious because of the ministry of Jesus Christ through the person of Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul. Okay? I don't want to confuse you with Saul and Paul, just because some people said, Pastor, you throw those names around. They're each the same person. Then he encourages the church to accept him and allow him into the fellowship. And we see through their obedience that that encouragement brings great blessing to the fellowship of the saints. The word for encouraged here in verse 23, I want to get into some word studies today because I think they're important here. The word for encouraged there in verse 23 is the word parakaleo. Parakaleo. It is, and it means this, to comfort, to encourage, to exhort, to pray, and to entreat. So when Barnabas goes to the church in Jerusalem, he entreats them. He encourages them in a way that they would open their doors to Saul. When Barnabas goes to Saul, he comforts him. He encourages him. He exhorts him. So we see how this word is used. Now over in John 14, Jesus is telling his disciples about his promise to send the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to be leaving, and when I leave, I will not leave you without hope. I will not leave you friendless. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come live with you, and you're going to be greater off. You're going to be better off because he's going to be in you where I just walked with you. Does that make sense? And Jesus says, so I'm going to send this Comforter. when I leave. And here's what he says in verses 16 and 17 of John 14. Listener, you can watch it on the screen. And I will pray the Father. I'm leaving you guys, but I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That word helper there in verse 16 is also translated. So if you have a Bible in front of you, wait a minute, my Bible doesn't say helper, my Bible says comforter. It's right. The word helper there is also translated comforter in other translations, because it's the same word. It's parakaleo. The word there for Holy Spirit, well, it's the same word as parakaleo, but the word there for the Holy Spirit, for helper and comforter, is parakletos, because it's a person doing it. And it's another derivative of that word, and it describes the ministry of Barnabas. Barnabas was a parakletos because the Holy Spirit, the great parakletos, was working in his life. And this again brings us to 2 Corinthians 1:4, when it tells us, because this verse can be confusing to people, but listen to what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, parakletos, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Listen, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Let me paraphrase that to show you what should be happening in a Spirit-filled church. In a Spirit-filled church, there should be comfort. Amen? Because the people who have been comforted, I lost my father, 5 years ago? Okay? I needed great comfort. When I came back to this church, there was great comfort. And now I know, I could never sit with a man who lost their father before and say, hey, I know what you're going through. Hey, I know how to pray for you, because I hadn't experienced that myself. But when I experienced that, and when I was comforted by the saints and comforted by the Holy Spirit through that, guess who I can sit with now and comfort them? Because I can say to them, and I did this for a man who used to attend our church, doesn't attend anymore, who just lost his father, and he sent a message back to me and said, thank you. Those words really ministered to me. Because for the first time, I was able to say, hey, I know what you're going through. It's not the same. Our fathers may have been different in our lives, but I know this. And I was able to share what God did for me and say, Brother Mike, God can do this for you as well. And he will do this for you. And so this is it. The church becomes a comfortable place to comfort those, because we have all been comforted by the great comforter ourselves, and now we know how to comfort others. We see here in the scripture that the people of church that are full of the Spirit are churches that comfort. Now, this is just not a statement about new chairs. Whew, I really like these chairs. They're comfortable. Well, that's great, but it's not about the chairs. That's not what this is talking about. The church will become a comfortable place. Listen, can I tell you, there may have even been more comforting done in that hot tent, sweaty tent under a tree in Africa than there is in a chair in a comfortable chair. Amen? It is a statement about the way that people feel when they are in such an atmosphere that is charged with the true power of God's Holy Spirit. That's what it's talking about. And so when a person who's broken, when a person who's hurting, when a person who is scarred by the things of this world, by the brokenness of this world, by things that have happened in their life, when they walk into an atmosphere such as ours, I pray that ours is that type of an atmosphere, where the power of God's Holy Spirit is moving, where there's such worship and praise, and the people are declaring what God does, that something would change in those people's lives. That they would be comforted, that they would be healed, that something in their lives would change because of the move of God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of comfort, the parakletos of the church. We sing a song that states, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's true. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But let us not forget, where the Spirit of the Lord also is, there is comfort. Because sometimes in our freedom, we don't always act the way we need to act and make sure people are comforted. Does that make sense? Well, I'm free to be me. Well, you are. But guess what? We are the church now. And the church is together today and should be comforting others around us and ministering to others around us. And so it should be stated, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is comfort. When the Holy Spirit is moving in our midst, church, when the Holy Spirit is present in our midst like he is today, church, His presence and power will be known in each and every life. And I pray that if you're visiting us with today for the first time, or if you're visiting us today for the second or third or the 150th time, you better not be visiting with us if you're here for the 150th time. By the second time, I pray that you feel part of our church, that you've been accepted. If you haven't been and you're here the third time and that hasn't happened, talk to me because something's wrong and we got to fix it. Okay? But if that's the case, I just want you to know and pray that as you go out of this place, you can truthfully say today, wow, I have been touched by the presence of the living God. Something has changed in my heart. Something is making a difference in who I am and what I am doing. I am not the same person. I don't even know all of those people yet, but I am not the same person. You see, because it's not just the people. It's the God who's moving in the people. It's the God who's moving through the players. It's the God who's moving through the singers. It's the God who's moving through the pastors. It's the God who's moving through the teachers downstairs. That hopefully we close this service today and every one of us can stand up and say, amen. God spoke to me. God is touching my life. I will never be the same. I'm changed. I'm a different person. Online, I believe the same thing for those of you. Praise God. Amen. Those who have been through some terrible and horrible things in life will be healed. Their hearts will be comforted through the pain. Their hearts will be comforted through the situations that they are facing. New hope will begin to rise up in their spirits. Amen. Father, right now in this place, right now online, I just pray that new hope would rise up in our hearts. God, this world is kicking our butts sometimes, Lord. The news is just bringing negativity, discouragement, death, and all of these other things. Lord, our jobs and the things that we're seeing and the things that we're seeing happening in our schools. And Lord, there's nothing good to talk about except you. And God, you are good all the time. So Lord, I pray that there'd be a new hope that would arise in our hearts. I pray that there'd be a new hope that would arise in our spirits. I pray that we would not be led by the negativity of the world and the fear from the world, but we would be led by the faith and by the power and by the presence and the new hope of the Holy Spirit. God, do that every time we meet, Lord. Do that every time we're in our workplaces. Do it every time we're in our schools. Do it every time we're doing life with someone, God. Bring new hope, Lord. Encouragement. Raise us up, Jesus. Amen. Tears will be dried up. Pain will be healed. Broken hearts and dreams and ambitions will be restored and be renewed. And if nothing else will work, then the loving presence of your Heavenly Father. Listen to me. The Father who knows how to give His children only good things. The loving Father who cares about His children wherever they are. And like the parable, will stand on the porch every day and look for your return. And if needs be, chase you down. Find you. He'll leave the 99 to go after the one. His presence will be felt as His huge and powerful arms of love wrap around you and let you know how much you mean to Him and what He wants to do in your life. If that's all it takes, then that's exactly what God will do. Feel the hug of your Heavenly Father today. It's a statement about the way that a body cares about every member in it, how we love one another. They'll know that you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. Amen? By how we spend our time with each other. Yesterday, Kim and I decided to get up early. I don't like doing early Saturdays, but I said, you know, we haven't done it in a while. Let's do it. We got up early and we went to another CMA chapter. We went to the chapter actually from where we had come from to go to the chapter we're in now. And so we went and we just had breakfast with them. And when we were introduced, they all know us. I mean, and when we were introduced, they said, oh, we got some visitors. And then he stopped. Al, the president, said he stopped. He goes, not visitors, they're family. Why? Because we wear the same patch on our backs that they wear on their backs. Why? Because we serve the same Jesus that they serve. And though we don't belong to that chapter anymore and we're from another chapter, and they come and visit our chapter all the time, which is why Kim and I said, we need to go. Because they're at our breakfasts. Next week, they'll be there at our breakfast again. And so it's family, the way we spend time with one another. I love the way that you spend time with one another. I love the way that you recognize that the pastor can't always. Did anybody enjoy that dinner last week? Wow, man. Jose put out a spread, amen? Man, that was some delicious food. And Jose told me to tell you this. If you go there to eat, mention his name, ask for him, and he'll make sure that he does something for you. So just know that that young man is going to come and serve Jesus Christ with all of his heart. We love him, Kim and I, and we put a lot of time into him, and he's just a great young man. So he said that, and he means that. If you go there and mention his name, hey, can Jose come out and talk to us? If he's there, he will. Let him know. He said, tell him to let me know what church they come from. Amen? So do that. Amen? But I'll tell you what, anything that Jose has ever done for us in our bill, we've always turned back and blessed Kevin with. So even though the bill's half price or whatever it may be, and I probably shouldn't be saying this online, Kevin walks away with a nice, because we take, you know, it's the way it should be. Amen. So praise God. And ask for Kevin, for your waiter. Praise God. Now, going back to our scriptures, it's how we spend time with each other. It's how we pray for one another. It's how we supply for one another. So going back to our scriptures in Acts 11 today, we see that the church is fractured. It says it, verse 19. The church was separated. The church had dispersed. They weren't meeting in the same place. They weren't meeting together because of this persecution. Because they saw Stephen stoned and they understand what Saul was going to do, they scattered. Now, if you remember, fear had risen up in their hearts. If you remember the last message, this is the primary reason why they did not want Saul to come into their midst, because they knew that he was heading up that persecution. And of course, with persecution comes scattering. But something else comes that's marvelous. If you look at the persecution of God's people at any place throughout the Bible, you know what you'll find out? That the word of God grew as the people were scattered. See, though they were scared, and though they didn't know what to expect, and though they dispersed themselves, and as they traveled, you know what they took with them? The word of God. Because it was living. It was breathing in their lives. Listen, sometimes in America, we try really hard to hide the word of God so people won't know who we are. You can't. The word of God is always going to have effect. The word of God is always going to come back to you. The word of God is always going to, it's always going to show its face if it's active. And so know that. And so if you're saying, Pastor, I need to be more in the word of God, then trust me, the people that you work with are going to know that you're more in the word of God. Pastor, I want to be more in prayer. I want to be more in my devotions. Guess what? The people who you live with are going to know that you're more in prayer, going to know that you're more in devotion. Pastor, I want to be more like Jesus. Guess what? The people that you do life with are going to know that you're becoming more like Jesus. And we got to be okay with that because it's worth it. It happens every time the people of God are forced out of their normal living patterns. The word of God grows, the church grows, and the word of God is spread. Not only does the Holy Spirit comfort us, but along with that comfort, church, he brings boldness. I like to call it holy boldness. We see this in verse 23 where it says that when he came to them, he encouraged them all so that with purpose of heart, that's that phrase I told you to underline, they should continue with the Lord. My second and last point today is this. It's not a real homiletic message, because in homiletics, you're supposed to have 3 points. But guess what? This is a Holy Spirit message. The Holy Spirit brings us back to our purpose. Though I don't know this, and it probably wouldn't be hard to find this out just doing a Google search online. If I was a gambling man, I would bet that the church in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are busy doing what they are called to do. They're still busy being the church. They're being shot at. Their churches may have been burned down. I don't know, but I guarantee you if they are still there and have not had to flee that country, that the church is still being the church. How do I know that? Because the church never doesn't become the church. Does that make sense? I used 2 negatives there. The church doesn't cease being the church because of warfare. The church doesn't cease being the church because of attacks. There's nothing that we can do to change who we are. Jesus has called us to love this world. And I guarantee you, if those Christians are still in their areas where they are, they're taking care of refugees. They're taking care of the sick and the down and out. They're ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ in the midst of being shelled and being burnt and being killed. They're willing to give their lives for Jesus Christ. Howbeit, differently than they ever expected, they are being the church. Even in war. In fact, let me say it like this, especially in war. Amen? Now, please don't allow the things I'm about to say to deter from what's happening in Ukraine. I don't want to minimize what those people are going through. But what we have in Acts is warfare. It's spiritual warfare. It is the church being attacked by the enemy through fear, being spread out, being dispersed so that they can't meet together. Okay, so it is warfare going on. Satan is trying to separate. He's trying to make the church ineffective. But as they are encouraged, they are emboldened to come back to the way that life should be and take the word of God to the places where they're going. I learned something pretty cool this week in my studying, and I want to share it with you for this message. The Greek word for the word purpose, where I told you to purpose of heart? Is that what I told you? The Greek word for purpose there, purpose of heart, is the word prothosis. It means to set forth a thing or to place it in view. And it is used in the scripture of the loaves of bread in the tabernacle. The priest would come out every morning and prothosis, put the new showbread out that was a symbol of the bread, would be a symbol of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, right, in the Old Testament. Now today, in the Greek Orthodox Church, they still do prothosis. Prothosis is when the priest or the pastor will bring out the communion and set it before the people, in view of the people. That's prothosis. Now, I could not see that these words are related. And I'm hoping that I'm right, because I believe the Lord gave me this. But I am smart enough to know this. We get a lot of our words from the Greek language. Prothosis. We have a word, prothetics, talking about artificial body parts that are used to replace body parts that have been lost, whether through warfare, whether through disease, whether through sickness. Now stick with me here, because I think God is going to teach us something this morning. We also call these prothesis, correct? Think about this. In the church here in Acts, people are missing. The church has been scattered. If people are missing, that means there are body parts missing, right? Am I right? If people aren't in the gathering, then the body's not together. There's an arm missing. There's a leg missing. There's something missing. I don't mean to get morbid today, but I want you to see this because I believe it's powerful. I was just amazed when the Lord showed me this. But the encouragement of the church leads to the prothosis, or bringing the church back to its original purpose. In other words, the original purpose of the church was being set before it. They were being brought back to the purpose of their heart, to the purpose of their calling, to that which was first ordained of the church by God. They were coming back to their original purpose. It was the setting of something in place, that which was planned far in advance. And if we take the meaning of the showbread and the communion, then it would be said something like this. When Jesus is seen in his body, get a hold of this, come on. When Jesus is seen in the body, prothosis, the communion, the table of communion, when Jesus is seen in the body, when he is our focus, when he is at the center of what we do as a church, it's like a prothetic that has been put on for where we are weakened and where we are frail. Does that make sense to you today? I hope you're hearing me. Where the battle or war has taken its toll, and we are again strengthened to do what we were originally made to do. I watched some of these soldiers, I watched some of these athletes run on these prothetic legs. I watch them run, and I'm amazed at what they can do. The distances they can jump, and how they can even run faster than maybe they ran even with their own legs because of technology and the things. And I think God is speaking something to the church, that there's a segment of the church that is saying we're too small, that is a segment of the church saying we're too dispersed, and there's people online watching us today in Florida, in Pennsylvania, and we might be saying, well, how can God do this? Because we want them to be part of the body. They can't be here because of distance and because of things like that, or sickness and those types of things. But I believe God is saying, oh no, through prothosis, when Christ is seen in your midst, when he's evidenced, when he's placed out in your midst and you're worshiping him and he's the center of focus and he's the center of everything that's going on, it's like that soldier that straps a prothesis on his leg and he's able to run better than he ran before. He's able to go further distances than he went before, or she is. Why? Because something was added to the body that was gone. Listen, when the Holy Spirit is added to the body, when the Holy Spirit is active in the body, when Jesus Christ is out front of everything we do, it doesn't matter what the battle has cost us. It doesn't matter what the war has cost us. We are again strengthened to do what we were originally made to do. There are no more missing body parts. There is no more weaknesses or incapabilities, and there are no more handicaps. Can you see that with me today? Can you believe for that with me today? Christ is strengthening this church. Christ is strengthening his church. Christ is empowering His people. The enemy, COVID, racism, and everything else that has been brought out that was used to separate us and send us apart. But the Holy Spirit is beginning to call us back together. And where a part of the body has not come back together, He's given us a prothesis. He's showing us Jesus Christ. And we're able to rise up and say, we can be better than we were before. Do we mourn those lost pieces? Yes, we do. We miss them and we pray that someday they'll be added back to our body. But that is not a hindrance for us. Do you hear what I'm saying? It cannot be our excuse any longer. Well, look at the size of our church. We only have 80 seats out and they're half full. So what's that, 40 people? How many people we have today? 54. Praise God. So we can't do what we want to do or what God has called us to do? No. Because Jesus has been laid out in our midst. We're one of the only churches that keep communion out all the time. And we do it on purpose because we want this to be something that you can partake of at any time in your life, to be reminded of the table that Jesus called you to, of what Jesus is doing in your life and what Jesus is manifesting in this place. Amen? Prothesis, bringing the communion elements out before the church, having them in full view. Something being added to the church. The Holy Spirit is empowering us. I'm going to close. He is adding His spiritual prothesis to our limbs and our legs and to any other part that has been affected. And the church, listen to me, will go on. And not only will the church go on, but the church will get more powerful. And the church will have more to say. And the church will have greater meaning and relevance in the society today. The church will continue on its course, hallelujah. This church will do great things. This church will see people's lives changed. This church will bring in the harvest of souls in these end days. This church will stand as a lighthouse in a darkened world to shine the light of Jesus and His word and His power in our world. Can you say amen? Now, I can say that about the church, but I want to speak over this church. I want to speak life over this place because I think there's too many people that have said, oh, that church is dead. Oh, that church, nothing's going to happen there. Look at the group of people that they're amassing together right now. Listen, Jesus says, hey, when the Holy Spirit comes and when I'm laid out in front of you and I'm the focus of everything you do, there's nothing that this church can't do. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, receive His strengthening today. Allow the Holy Spirit to fix what ails you. Allow Him to bring you back to His purpose for your life. Some of us have lost that. Some of us have been so scattered because of things we're hearing, things we're involved in, things that are all around us, and we've allowed ourselves to get scattered. Those of you that are coming back to OSL, I would encourage that anytime an OSL class is taught, if you've taken that class already, I would encourage you to get involved in it. And just refresh yourself. You don't have to attend everything. You don't have to do all the work. But just ask the Lord, Lord, I took this 5 years ago. I took this 2 years ago before COVID. And God, I've been distracted. And so I just need some refreshing in my heart. And sit in that class and just get the teaching again. Or go online and get the teachings, whatever. And just allow the Lord to bring you back to your purpose. Let's pray that He would unite us in our mission together. Amen. Online. We still don't have all this figured out. But we're getting better at including you and bringing you into our fellowship and into our meetings and those types of things. And please pray with us because it has to happen at a greater degree. And it has to. And there's got to be a greater mentality and a greater thought effort in it. And so pray with us about that. Let's seek His face for where He is leading us and what He is guiding us to do. Let's be the church in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the warfare, in the midst of what's going on around us. Let's be God's hands held out. Let's be God's mouth speaking His peace and His comfort and His mercy. Let's be His agent of love and His agent of mercy to the world around us. Let us be the church that is full of the Spirit. Amen. Would you stand with me today?